Well, all right. We've had a good weather chat. I know you're all thinking about Adopt a Highway, but we're going to move on to the interview of the morning, and that's with Mary McGraw, manager out at Round Lake State Park. And it's just so great to have you in the studio, Mary, because you've always got interesting information about what's going on out at the park. Let's start out with you, though. How long have you been managing Round Lake? It's been a while now.
Yeah, I've been at Round Lake for about 28 years, and of that, almost 10 as a manager. So it's been good. It's we've done a lot of improvements, and I'm really excited about it.
Kind of a dream job, and you've been able to hang on to that job and really make your own history there.
Yeah, that's kind of fun. It's good to see some of the things that are being implemented that people are asking for and wanting. So hopefully we're making it better for the campers.
Oh, it feels like it. Well, how is camping? How is user, how is the activity going? Is it busy already?
Yeah, with the nice spring that we've had, we've had quite a few campers, especially on the weekends. Last weekend it was nice and sunny and warm, and we were half full, which was great. That's a great time to get out this time of year. With it being Mother's Day, it was also kind of a fun activity for the family. So we implemented a new reservation system last year, which all the reservations are made online at this time. You can come into the park, and if we have availability, we can do that for that night, but we can't do any future reservations in the park. So you'll need to either do that online or through the call center. And right now, through the month of May, including the holiday weekend, whatever's available, we're offering online reservations at 25% off. So, take advantage of that. We are trying to keep the park busy and full. We're also trying to get things done and get everything ready for the busy, busy season. But, yeah, come on in.
Yeah. Hey, let's just do a little bit of an overview about Round Lake State Park and talk about what's offered. What can you do out there? And let's just give a general description of the park, what it is, how big it is, et cetera. We're constantly getting new listeners and new people to the area, and if they don't know about this park, they need to.
Yeah, it's, I've been down there for quite some time, and, we get a lot of people coming in and saying, we've just never stopped here. We've driven by it several times and never stopped in. So we want to encourage people to come on in, and there's a lot to do there. Of course, we have 51 unit sites available for camping. About a third of them have hookups, so that's water and electricity at the site. And then we also have a dump station that's at the entrance of the station, so that's available. The rest of the sites do not have the water and electricity at the site, but do have central water. Of course, then we also have the shower buildings with flush toilets and warm showers. We also have fishing. Fishing is really popular at the park. The fishing game does stock the lake, so that keeps the lake full of catchable fish.
Trout.
Trout, yes. They're stocking, I think, 10 to 12-inch trout at right now, so they're all catchable. It's also a family fishing lake, which means that some of the limits that are imposed on some of the other waters are not imposed on Round Lake, because we want to encourage people to come out and learn how to fish, to be able to catch a fish and take it home and have it for dinner. So if you choose to do that, that's great. If you choose to release it, that's fine too.
I have to say something. I've been out there when the stocking truck is there, and that's kind of an exciting moment because they've got this big, tube that's maybe 12 inches in diameter, and trout just come flinging out of that thing. It's pretty amazing. And then the other day, I had the opportunity to be out at Water Life Center promoting some of the 7B Gives events, and I learned that that's where they pick up the trout, because they were doing the reverse thing and headed over to Round Lake, but they were sucking trout up out of this great big concrete basin, and it was like big vacuum cleaners sucking up trout. I'm like, oh, that has to be a disturbing experience for those guys.
Yeah, it might be a little traumatizing
wild
to the fish, right?
But they seem to make it. Anyway, it was pretty wild. Yeah, so I know they're in there now because this was just a few days ago.
Yeah, they did. And if you go onto the Fish and Game's website, they also post when the estimated week of when they're going to be stocking fish in the different lakes in North Idaho. And it looks like we are on the agenda again for right at the end of the month. So,
oh boy.
Yeah.
And, lots of trout.
That's awesome. People have so much fun fishing on those piers, the whole family, and set up their chairs. It's a really great, great activity.
It is. It's great. But that's not all. You've got other things more than just fishing.
Yeah. And we have hiking. We have the hiking trails around the lake. There's all kinds of stuff. At the visitor center, we have loaner backpacks that kids can come in, and at no cost, you can get a loaner backpack. It has different activities. It has different topics. So you can explore the park at your own pace with your family. And that's a really great way to introduce kids into things that are going on around this area, the life cycles of different things, trees and bugs and aquatic animals and just all kinds of different things. So that's a fun thing to do also.
It sure is. And back to the lake for a moment, when I'm down near the little launch for the non-motorized boats, I'm noticing kayaks and canoes. Are those from you all? Those are State Park?
Yeah. Between Memorial Day and Labor Day, we do have canoes, kayaks, and stand-up paddle boards for rent. So you just come up to the visitor center, bring a driver's license. We'll hold that. I don't remember the prices right off the top of my head, but they're fairly reasonable. We have an hourly rate, a half-day rate, and a full-day rate. So depending on what your use is and how long you're going to be there, there's a lot of options.
Yeah, you don't have to load everything up onto your car. Just come and enjoy Round Lake. Very nice. That's cool. There is a new thing that I'm very excited about. I've been watching its progress. I don't know, is it 2 years they've been in the making, Mary? How long? But it's tree houses.
Tree houses, yes. That has been a long adventure. The process of getting ready to build them took a year and a half, maybe 2 years. It seems like it was forever. And last summer, the Pete Nelson and the Nelson Treehouse Company came in and built the treehouses. Some of you may have seen it. We kind of were able to watch the progress of them, which was really exciting. Those guys are amazing carpenters. They have amazing skills. So watching that was just a pleasure for me. So just, talking about it for a long time and then seeing it come happen, that was cool.
I know. I'm kind of just thrilled because I've walked out at Round Lake and have watched that progress too, and they're just gorgeous. Let's hear more about them.
Yeah, we have two tree houses. One is ADA accessible. So if you have a person that, or you are disabled, we wanted to include everybody in that experience. So we, like I said, we do have two tree houses. They're very similar in design. They're a little bit different layout, but they are not attached to trees, so some people don't think that they're treehouse, but we want to protect our trees too. The state was not willing to make that investment on something that may fail in 5 years or whatever. So they are on piers or on posts, but they do move. They move with the wind. They move with people in the house. So, but you are the decks are about 15 feet off the ground. So you are up in the trees. You can touch a tree from in the treehouse. You can see the trees swaying. You get a little bit different view from the trees from the treehouses as opposed to on the ground. The treehouses sleep six. They have two queen beds and two twin beds. They have a little kitchenette and a little dining area, and then a deck space too. So we have cooking available inside with an induction stovetop and air fryer and a microwave. So we provide all the dishes and basic stuff for cooking. We do not provide linens, so you'll have to bring your own linens and towels and stuff like that. The nice thing about the tree houses is they have their own bathroom. So,
wow.
So they are full service. They don't have a shower. They're a three-quarter bathroom, so they have a toilet and a sink. So that makes it really convenient for not having to go in and out of the tree house in the middle of the night if you need to go to the restroom. So the bathroom is a little separate building from the main area. So It's it's really convenient. We also have a little, what I want to call a patio, just outside the treehouse, because there's no cooking on the deck. The treehouses are made of cedar, so we can't be having any cooking or fires on the deck. So we provided a fire pit and a picnic table out right next to each treehouse, so that you have access if you want to barbecue or if you want to have a campfire at night. So you can still have that experience.
Wow, it sounds like the best of both worlds. I'm just curious to know if there are other state parks that have such an amenity as this. This is pretty special.
It is pretty special. In doing my research, I don't think there's any other state park in the nation that has treehouses. There may be a couple national parks. I think Mount Rainier might have a couple up there. I don't know if they're open to the public. But as far as I know, we're the only state park in the country that offers treehouse experiences.
And this is through the same reservation system?
Yeah. Reservations start May 23rd, I believe, is the first night stay. We opened reservations April 1st, so you can make reservations now for any time after Memorial Day weekend. The nice thing is treehouses are going to be open year-round.
Wow.
So that'll be fun.
So there's heat in there.
There's heat and there's cooling. We have mini splits in there, so they'll heat in the wintertime and cool in the summertime if you need that. The nice thing is you get that nice breeze off the lake. We have a ton of windows in those treehouses that makes them really special. Makes you have like a outdoor experience when you're indoors. So you can open the windows and get some fresh air and stuff. But if you need to, you can use the AC. So yeah, in my opinion, winter and fall are going to be one of the premier times to be in the treehouses, because it's a little bit slower pace. You'll have the whole place to yourself just about.
Even winter, I would think, would just be amazing.
I think it would be.
That'll be great. Are they getting booked up? Are they already booked for the whole summer, practically?
Most weekends, I think, are booked up. We're starting to get people booking during the week, and we're starting to get a lot of reservations in the fall and starting in September and October.
Oh,
so
yeah.
You can make reservations 9 months in advance, so yeah.
Go ahead and get on there. Now I have to know, is this going to be an experience for someone who has a lot of spare cash? Is this going to be a super expensive rental? I mean, it holds a lot of people and it's gorgeous.
Yeah. We tried to keep them pretty reasonable. In the summertime between Memorial Day weekend and Labor Day weekend, they're a little bit higher priced because obviously they're going to be in higher demand. For Idaho residents, they're going to be $275 a night and $30 more for a non-resident.
But, you know, if you've got six folks, say three couples, that's a pretty good deal for that sort of accommodation.
Yeah.
I would say.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
I think for what we're offering, I think it's still reasonable. And after that, in the off season or winter, fall, spring, they're going to be about $125.
Oh, my goodness.
So wow, big let's, drop.
Let's considerably more reasonable. And one of the things, I think a lot of the local people will have an opportunity to take advantage of that because they live local.
Right.
It's a great getaway for a weekend. And then it'll be $30 more also for out-of-staters. So sure. In the wintertime, we'll keep the winter road open as we normally do. Unlike this year where we kept both roads open because there was no snow. But if we get snow, we'll keep that area plowed open. It'll be, a great opportunity just to have it, like I said, a getaway. If you want to go skiing or snowshoeing or ice fishing, it's a good opportunity to stay in the park and experience the park.
Right. Well, after the next topic that I introduce, we'll take a little song break. But this is related, and it's still in the works. But can you share a little bit with the listeners what you were sharing with Julie and I before we began? It's another overnight experience that may be coming.
Right. Yeah. We're working with Idaho Department of Lands on providing backcountry cabins. The cabins will be on Idaho Department of Lands property. And we're working on the design of the cabins, and hopefully we'll have those available, I'm hoping, next spring.
Wow.
Yeah.
Rustic, I assume?
They will be more rustic than the treehouses. They will sleep four people, They'll have a queen size bed and bunk beds, twin beds. They will have a fire pit and a picnic table outside, no indoor cooking. We'll have a seating area and a sleeping area. And there'll be a pit toilet out, so there'll be no indoor,
no plumbing.
No plumbing in the cabin. We will have power, but we will not have water.
Okay. So how backcountry will they be? Are you going to be like backpacking in with your water then, that kind of thing?
Right. Yeah. You'll have to carry all your stuff in, water, all your food, linens, stuff like that, just like as if you were going on a backcountry trip.
Yeah.
The purpose of it is to introduce a new experience in the state parks and surrounding areas, especially cooperating with other state agencies. So the money that we receive from this is from the governor for his ORFAC, which was his recreation initiative, to provide more recreational opportunities throughout the state. So we were able to benefit from that and be able to provide that. The hike in is about a half mile, so it's not terribly long. You can get there in about 10 minutes, 15 minutes, depending on your speed of walking and stuff like that. But it's going to be great for hike in, bike in the wintertime. We're hoping to have those open also. And, you can snowshoe or ski in. So
yeah, far enough back that you're not maybe running into all the day-to-day folks at the park, but not so far that a beginner to backpacking or a little one would be too daunted to give it a try.
Right. It's a great opportunity to see if that's something that you like to do. If you like to go backpacking, you don't have to make a huge investment with tents and sleeping bag, mattresses and stuff like that. So it might be a good introduction to young families for backpacking trips in the future.
Cool. And you started to tell Julie and me where it's going to be in the park.
Yeah, they're it's actually outside the park.
Oh, yes, you said that. Sorry.
Which is, our trails go on IDL property. It's going to be on IDL property overlooking the Kokolala Creek that is just right by, if you're familiar with the park, by the Trapper's Bridge. So it'll be a great view. You're going to be sitting on top of the hill looking down on the creek, and it should be a nice, soothing place to be.
Is it kind of on the trail that just goes round Lake? Is it in that area?
Yeah, it's going to be just right off of that trail.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'll be fun. Well, boy, another interesting opportunity at Round Lake.
Lot happening out there.
Right. Well, I think, listeners, we're going to take a short song break, and this is a song selected by hand by Marion. I think it's a great one, or by ear, not by hand. But before I say that, I'd just like to remind everybody, I'm organizing the highway cleanup, so that's why you're going to hear about it two or three times this morning. We need you. Highway cleanup tomorrow, 9:30, up at the Conoco at the intersection of Upper Pack River Road in 95. Plan on a couple of hours of what we hope will be rather light trash pickup, and then off to Blue Heron Cafe if you're free. So hope you guys can make it. And again, my number if you want to confirm is 651-329-3240. And Julie's got a song for us.
Yes, and it's this will be Chicago Saturday in the park, but at Round Lake, every day in the park is a great day. So here we go. Enjoy this, folks. We'll be right back. This is 88.5 KRFY.
And that was Saturday in the park, and all days in the park if you're at Round Lake State Park. For those of you just joining us, this is Julie Calamine, KRFY Tuesday Morning Show, and I'm joined by Julie Perchinsky, my sometime and quite often co-host, which is so much fun.
Yes, I get to run the board today, so that is
she's
fun.
On it. No glitches yet that I can tell. Doing great.
Let us know, folks.
That's right. Call in. We appreciate it, actually, if you do in if you hear something that doesn't sound right. And we're midway through a great conversation with Mary McGraw of Round Lake State Park, and we've covered so many new things happening at the park, and there's more to talk about. Should we go ahead and start with the flora and fauna that we might expect to see in the park? Some of it.
Yeah, right now, of course, it's early. The weather's been kind of on and off. I did catch a hint of the skunk cabbage the other day.
Yes, I've been seeing some skunk cabbage blooming.
Yeah, yeah, they're one of the early plants that are out there. You're gonna, with the warm weather that we've had, you're gonna see a lot of new stuff popping up. I haven't seen a ton of stuff right now. I would imagine in the next couple of weeks, especially if we get a little bit of rain, we should be able to start seeing some wildflowers coming up. And the animals are out. We see deer all the time. The osprey are back, of course.
Mm-hmm.
The eagles are here. We do have an eagle nest that has been occupied recently, so that's kind of fun to see. We want to be real respectful of that area. It's kind of on the east side of the trail system. But it's so much fun to go out there and see the osprey and the eagles interact over the lake and how the eagles try and steal the fish that the osprey are catching diligently. So
I know for our national bird, they have some traits that I don't approve of. They do that to the ospreys.
Hey, it's the natural world, man.
That's right. Yeah. Well, and just birds in general are back, and bird song is happening out in the park. I hear it. It's really nice. And
the other song, are the bullfrogs out yet?
I have not heard the bullfrogs. We did hear some of the spring frogs that have been out. The spring peepers and some of those smaller frogs are enjoying the spring weather also. So we've heard some of those in the evenings.
Oh, fun. Yeah, the little peeper, all the fun nighttime sounds. It's been a long time since I've seen a moose track in Round Lake State Park. I'm not sure that they're hanging around there anymore.
It's pretty rare to see them down in the park. I think it's gotten busy enough. The moose have changed their habits a little bit. Seems like in the wintertime they're only in town.
Seems so, yes.
But occasionally we do see one. I think they're staying up higher. With the warmer weather, I think they're making changes to where they're spending more time. So
Mary, like at the campsites, I don't think I've noticed bear-proof garbage cans. Is that because bears are not really showing up at Round Lake?
We don't have them. We do have bears around us, and it's not uncommon to see bear tracks and bear scat. They haven't been in the park a whole lot, which in the 30 years I've been there, I think I've seen 3 bears, maybe.
Yeah, good, though.
Yeah, mostly in the fall when they're trying to fatten up, usually during a extremely dry weather when there's maybe not as much food to fatten up with. But the bears are around. I think they tend to stay out of the park a little bit. There's a lot of activity going on. They don't want to get in the middle of that. So, like I said, they are not coming in. We try and do our best to keep the park cleaned up, keep the trash picked up, and that's what's going to bring them in. We always tell people to be real respectful of the wildlife. Not only bears, but if people have pets with them and leave their dog food out, that attracts other animals. We have seen an increase in skunk activity, although we haven't had any nuisance skunks directly in the park. We have seen quite a few around. Raccoons can be prevalent also. So if we keep things cleaned up and picked up, that really helps to eliminate some of that.
Yeah, who wants a skunk running through the campsite? No way. Especially if you have a dog.
The skunk cabbage is bad enough. We don't need them spraying everywhere.
That's right. I just said dog, but dogs are welcome.
Dogs are welcome in the park. And we just ask that everybody clean up after your dogs. They must stay on a leash at all times. There's a lot of wildlife around, especially this time of year. The deer are having their young. There's a lot of, babies going to be showing up. The baby ducks are going to be coming out pretty quick, the geese. So we want to keep them safe. So it's best to keep your dog on a leash at all times.
Yeah.
Have there been any mushroomers out there? I mean, what's the mushroom season looking like?
The mushroom season has been kind of off and on. I think they're finding more a couple, days after we get a little bit of rain.
Oh, sure.
So, yeah, I have seen a few mushroom people out collecting mushrooms. And some days they do really well. And some days, they got to wait for a little bit more.
Yeah, but that's an allowed activity in the state park.
Yep. You can harvest edible foods.
Very nice. While we're talking about plants and plant life, we'll talk some about trees. Round Lake is a park that has areas of the most beautiful mature evergreens and just wonderful overstory trees. But there has been some change over the last year, not necessarily within the park itself, but within the BLM or the Idaho land, whatever that
state
is.
Land.
State land is called.
Yeah.
Private land. The
Department of Lands, Idaho Department of Lands, has they own property adjacent to our property. In conjunction with them, there's about a full section of state-owned land. IDL owns about three-quarters of that section. We own about a quarter of it. So this winter, they did come in and do a logging operation on their property. And it's if you haven't been here since last summer, they did come in the wintertime, and it looks considerably different. And it did affect our trail system. We are working with them to restore our legacy trails, the Stewardship Trail and the Trapper's Trail. And it looks like they're doing a pretty good job with that. But you just want to it's going to look different. It's just going to look different. And the thing is it's on endowment land, and the money that they raise for that logging operation does support the public schools. So they do have a way different mission than we do. It doesn't make it right or wrong. It's just that's the way that the state has decided to manage that property. So we are looking forward to getting some new, fresh, healthy trees coming up. My understanding is that they will probably come in next year and do some plantings. There's a lot of slash piles out there right now, and they'll come in later in the fall or winter, and they'll burn those.
Okay. Will it be the entire, all of their land within the section that's going to be logged, or just a portion of it?
I believe they have finished the logging operation of the land that they're going to do around us. So I think that is complete or nearly complete. They may be doing some other little bit of work out there, hauling logs, restoring areas. I'm not sure exactly where they are in that process, but I believe that the actual cutting of the trees, that has been completed.
And none of that takes place around the campground. It's a little ways out on the trail.
Right.
Yeah.
So they've done logging on the backside before. I mean, that's all part of the, managing land.
Yeah. About 40 years ago, they did do some logging on some of the same property mm-hmm. that they logged this time. So it's part of the process. One thing that you may remember if you've been around here a while, about 6 years ago, we had a devastating windstorm, and that was an eye-opener to us in the campground. We lost a lot of trees in the campground because they weren't very healthy. And, so now we're in the park. We're trying to get that canopy regeneration coming up so that we can continue having shady campground. So we're working to make that better in the future for us. This summer or this spring, we had a school group come in and plant about 200 trees for us.
Great.
Within the campground. And one of the things that's going to help those trees grow is the fact that we have finished our living pad, the area in which we want the campers to put all of their equipment and maintain the rest of the area to allow those 200 trees that we've planted to grow. It's going to help us in the future to have a shady campground, and it will help to provide screening in between the campsites. If you've been in there, you can see all the way across the campground. And if we get some vegetation growing in there, that will be helpful to provide a little privacy and make the campground even better. So with everybody's cooperation, to keep all your camping gear on the living pad is going to really help us out. We really need to have that.
Yeah, let that vegetation get a chance and make for even better campsites in the future. That'll be great.
Do you ask people to buy the firewood there, or can people bring their own firewood, or how do you manage that?
We do have firewood available for sale at the park, and we don't they can bring their own firewood if they have it, but if they can use local firewood, that's always better. We right now, the forest is stressed out because of the drought, because of, you know, a lot of different weather changes that have been happening. So if we can keep from spreading bugs that may be going from one place to the other, that would be really helpful. But yeah, we do have plenty of firewood that we do have for sale.
Yeah, great. Well, as we're talking about unwanted bugs, et cetera, there are a few unwanted little critters at the park that you're working on controlling. And I know one is in the lake, but there's also some plants that would rather not have there. But let's start with what's going on in the lake.
Yeah, as if you've been around a couple of years, you've probably heard about our snail bounty that we offer. If you remove 18 of the trapdoor snails, or they're called the Chinese mystery snail also, and you bring them to the visitor center between Memorial Day weekend and Labor Day weekend, we'll provide you a free ice cream. So it's encouraging. It's my goal is, I don't think we will ever remove every snail out of that lake. Every year we remove more and more. But it gives us an opportunity to have an educational moment where we can explain why the snails are there, how they got there, and why it's important not to be letting pets or aquarium debris, yes, or anything loose in a natural area, because they can be devastating and the local animals and plants can't compete with a lot of them.
Mm. And so these are definitely a snail you don't want in the lake, and they're competing with other snails or something.
Yeah. They eat algae, and you know there's plenty of algae in the lake, but it's pushing out some other native stuff.
Sure.
And they just don't belong there.
Now, if I want an ice cream, would I bring a net out to net around the algae, or are they attached to the dock?
They can be attached to some of the plants there. A lot of times they just, in the wintertime, they dig down into the mud in the bottom of the lake. So they're coming up from the bottom of the lake. They're big snails. They're probably about 1.5 to 2 inch round. So they're easy to see, relatively easy to see around the edges of the lake. People just go around and pick them up with their hands.
Wow. So, big snail.
Yeah, they are big snails. If you find small snails, they are, you know, pick those out also. We did a little investigation of the snails, and we dissected a couple of them. And we found that on the average, there were 30 to 40 babies in different stages of development inside of one of those snails.
Whoa.
So their reproduction is very extreme. They grow very fast. They reproduce very prolifically. So every snail that we get out, that's like an equivalent of 40 snails that aren't reproducing. So we keep track of that. Last year, we took out almost 50,000 snails out of the lake. They already are up. And, you know, with the warm weather, so they're out and about. So anytime you can remove them, we will have ice cream available starting Memorial Day weekend.
That's cool. That's a fun thing for kids or adults, right?
Anybody who brings in 18 snails, we will offer an ice cream to.
Very nice. How'd you choose 18?
We started out with a dozen, and we found that we needed to up that a little bit, because getting a dozen snails was pretty easy. So
funny.
We've been thinking about actually upping it a little bit, seeing we keep catching more, you know, getting more and more snails.
Asking people to get more if they're easy to get.
I think you should make it a few more. Sounds pretty easy.
Yeah, and at times it is. Towards the end of the summer, it seems like they, you know, as the weather gets colder, they dig down into the mud, so it makes it a little bit more difficult.
Right.
But yeah,
sure.
I encourage you to take them out, even, you know, if you don't take the ice cream or only get one or two ice creams, that's fine. Any snails that we can get out of there is a bonus for us.
And then does one just throw them in the trash or bring them to you guys?
At the visitor center, we have what we call the snail pail.
Oh.
And we have a tote that you can put them in, and we have that marked. So during visitor center hours, We will have the ice cream available starting Memorial Day.
Well, perfect. It sounds like a fun activity if you've got young ones looking for something to do. Yeah.
A lot of time when you're camping, you know, free time. So that would be a good to go snail hunting.
Yeah,
I think.
Different than snipe hunting when we were kids.
That's right. I went snipe hunting a couple times.
Yeah, me too.
Very funny. And then to continue just on the topic of non-native invasives, there are some plants that I know you've worked on and off over the years. St. John's wort, I know, has been one, and maybe some thistles, et cetera. Hawkweed, I don't know.
Yeah, we encourage people to, and we've been working on it too, to remove some of the non-native species out there. There's knapweed out there, like you said, St. John's wort. You know, if we can remove those, they tend to be in, you know, prolific in certain areas, and so we kind of target those areas and hand pull if we can. I try not to use chemicals as much as possible because that has other effects on other things. But if we have to, we may spray small areas.
Yeah, understood. One animal that's a native that's very interesting at the park is the painted turtle, western painted turtle. At one time I know that there was college research happening on a little population of those guys. Is that ongoing or has that ended?
They have scaled back on their research that they've been doing. One of the reasons is because some of the animals that I talked about earlier, the skunk, they have identified as the skunks have been targeting the turtle egg nests. Mm. So when the turtles lay their eggs, the skunks are immediately, of course, they're active in the evening when the turtles are nesting. And the turtles are this, I mean, the skunks have been devastating the turtle nests.
Big problem. I'm sorry to hear that.
So we're actually hoping that a couple of changes that have been made, possibly the logging operation, areas opening up, being warmer, that maybe some of that activity may change also. We don't know what that's going to look like. I know the professor at Gonzaga is going to do some spot checks throughout the summer just to kind of get an idea of what's going on, see if there's any changes that may be happening. She hasn't given up yet, but they've been concerned. A little bit discouraged.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
That is too bad.
Yeah, turtles are fun.
How is the water level with the low runoff this year? Is that manageable? I mean, will that continue through the summer, the high water?
Yeah, we've been pretty lucky. The water level of the Ponderay River and the lake really doesn't affect us a whole lot. We get most of our runoff coming through Lake Kokalala, down the creek into our lake, and then down, of course, our lake has a creek leading out downstream into the Ponderay River. And we have that dam, that check dam, down the trail on the IDL property that helps hold some of the water in. We also have those industrious beaver that are around that are helping us too. They put little dams in there, so that helps hold water a little bit longer in the late summer. The water level does go down later in the summer, but it really helps to maintain good water levels.
Yeah, it doesn't ever seem to get dangerously, like, noticeably low on Round Lake.
Right.
Which
good.
Is great.
Good.
Yeah, well, let's see. We've covered a lot, guys, haven't we?
Yes, we have.
Mary, I understand you had staff turnover, and I know that we talked about, or we didn't, but Phil talked with those folks in the winter, but you do have some new staff, and how's that going?
Yeah, it's been going really well. We have two rangers and an office assistant that's all brand new as of last year. It kind of turned over throughout the year. We have Kaylin Kotler, who is the ranger. She was hired last April. We have Rob Brewer, who transferred from another state park in Idaho over to our state park. So he's a great help, and we're happy to have him. And this year we have Norm Sommerfeld, who is a local, and he is our office assistant. He also has a lot of skills, so we use him on an advisory note, But he does a great job. He's super helpful. He is operating our office this year. So come by, say hi to everybody. And I think we got some great talent that we're taking advantage of. I hate to say it that way, but we are.
Yes, and that's great. Yeah. A great opportunity for the park.
It is. And I think we're going to all benefit from that.
Do you still have the critter talk at night? Is that something that's ongoing?
We're working this year to get more of that stuff going with the staff turnover. It was pretty limited last year. We had a master naturalist that was doing some stuff for us. She has retired. So if there's any master naturalists out there looking for an opportunity to get some volunteer time, we would love to talk to you. To do some hikes, to do some programs, whatever you're interested in, we would love to do that. But we are working to get some staff in that would be doing more of the interpretive programming, junior ranger programming.
Yes. Well, that does sound right up the Master Naturalist's alley, because those guys have to put in a certain number of hours every year. Wouldn't that be a fun way to do it?
Yeah, that'd be a great connection.
Yeah, yeah. One thing that we're going to try this summer, you know, everybody may have heard that America is turning 250 years
That's
old.
That's right.
So we are, from Memorial Day to Labor Day, it's going to be on your own pace, but we're offering a 250-minute challenge in the park. So we have a sheet that we are asking to for you to keep track of the time that you spend in the park. And there's different categories, five categories, and I probably won't be able to remember them all. But when you do that, then you'll get a certificate of completion. So it's to kind of help you get out there, enjoy the park. We're doing it only at Round Lake. So just if you go to another park, they may or may not be doing that. But we're asking you to spend some time in the lake, spend some time hiking, spend some time giving back to the park, unplugging for some time. And I told you I wouldn't be able to remember them all.
Oh,
but there's another
four.
One. It's, yeah.
It's great, though. What a great idea.
Yes.
Yeah, that is great.
So it's to help you to get out, enjoy the park. The parks are important to people and for our country. So we want to encourage people to get out there and like I said, for the most part, it's going to be a personal accomplishment, but I think it's a worthy one.
Oh, that sounds wonderful. Mary, we'll just mention that having a state park sticker in Idaho, I think, is one of the bargains of the state. And would you like to explain how one gets that? It's a great season pass opportunity.
Yeah, we have a season pass. It's you purchase it when you purchase your vehicle registration. It's $10 per year. It expires when your vehicle registration expires. So it makes it easy to continue to purchase that. The sticker goes on your windshield. It is, like I said, $10, and it gets you into every state park in Idaho. I think there's 30, 31 state parks for day use. So it covers your day use fee. And it's a great opportunity. I don't know where else you can go and be entertained all year long, go swimming, go fishing, go hiking for $10.
I know. And all across the state, any park, any state park you want to visit, it's amazing.
Yeah.
That is amazing. Do you have to have a watercraft sticker to put into the lake?
If you have a boat, we do sell the invasive species sticker. So we do have those at the park. For non-motorized, they are $7, so not terribly expensive. It's a great way to fund what Department of Agriculture is doing. They help with the invasive species. They've been to our lake and have helped us with our lake with the control of the Eurasian milfoil. So they've come in, they've sent divers in to hand pull it. And they have had to come back in and spray it one year, which really, really helped our beach area because it was starting to invade that area. So that really does benefit our lakes.
Yeah, it's worthwhile.
It's
worth it for sure.
And it's the rule.
It is the rule.
It is state law, too. Now, if a person is, we're starting to wrap up now. We just have a few minutes left, Mary. So I'm going to ask you to have any final comments or concluding comments for you in the park. But before we get quite there, how do folks, what is the website? How do folks get to Round Lake State Park info in order to either reserve a campsite or see what's going on?
That's a great question. The website is idahoparksandrecreation.idaho.gov, and that will get you to our website. Or if you just type in Idaho State Parks, Idaho Parks and Recreation, it will bring you to our website. And on the website, there is an opportunity to make reservations at all the state parks. You choose the park that you want to go to, and then you can do that online. Everything that you see online is live. So there's no holdback. You can make same-day reservations. If you're driving up to a park and you go, oh, I don't know if I want to stay there, or if there's an opportunity, you can look before you get there and make that reservation same day. We encourage you to make reservations in advance, especially during the busy season. Mm-hmm. It does get busy at the park, and it will help make your stay a lot better. And that's at any state park in Idaho.
Yeah, great. Sounds easy.
Yeah, it is pretty easy. You just have to know what park you want to go to and check it out.
Yeah.
Correct.
Choose that one.
Yep.
Well, Mary, it's been great having you join us, Julie and me, this morning. Any last words before we go off to what's going to be a fun final song of the morning?
We're really excited for the new things that have happened to the park. We are trying to make it better and more friendly for everybody to get out, enjoy, to unplug, to relax, to recharge, and to reflect on out in nature. So we just want everybody to come in and enjoy that experience.
Yeah, and listeners, you really will enjoy Round Lake State Park if you haven't been there before. It's a well-run park, it's gorgeous, and it's just a little gem of the community. And we thank you for that, Mary McGraw.
Yes, we do.
Manager, thanks for doing a great job.
Thank you.
Okay, and then a last little notice, guys, highway cleanup tomorrow. Keep your highways clean, too. That's a meeting up at Highway 95 and Upper Pack River Road. Even if you don't call me, you can come. I'm going to say that now. But if you do want to call, it's 651-329-3240, and hope we'll get a couple listeners who have time tomorrow morning and want to do a good deed. Okay, out we go, Julie.
Okay, let's end up with this is the perfect ending song, Joy to the World with Three Dog Night. Jeremiah Was a Bullfrog.